Hey everybody, welcome back to Faking Movies. It's episode 258. I think Seth is about to crawl through the screen and, oh yeah, he's unhinging his jaw.
I've seen this movie. Yep.
Yeah, he's video droning us right now.
Mm-hmm. Sure was.
Got pretty good teeth though, I gotta say. Nice and straight and everything.
Yeah, well that's because I didn't stop losing my teeth till I was 23, so.
Right.
I just kept losing them.
You care about teeth, both your own and other people's. I guess I should have seen that one coming,
you know, but yeah. Not as much. I feel like that's my that's the rumor, but I don't know, teeth. Mm.
Yeah, you've been more of a blood guy these days,
yeah.
I guess. For
yeah, well, I'm just thinking back to like when we played D&D, and after every encounter, you would ask if you could roll to find teeth.
Oh, yeah, so, that's true. I was collecting them for a special project.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to make them come to life at some point, and you were going to have to fight them.
That kind of joke that really, it lasts so long that it ebbs and flows, and you're like, sometimes it's like, oh, Christ.
I was
going to
like,
this is good.
I was going to embed them in my, in like a bat or something.
A melee weapon.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You could call it Lockjaw the Bat.
That's a great name, and then it would probably get extra powers, because
it's such a good name. My actual working thought was at some point during the campaign, I was going to find a way to separate you from everyone else just to teach them a lesson because you were the only one who knew how to play.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
And they were not very curious about anything.
It's true.
No one was investigating shit.
Nope. But my plan was when I felt like you had enough teeth to imbue it with some sort of life. Mm. Like the Channel Zero tooth kid things.
Yeah, make a tooth golem.
Creepypastas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to have it like guide you through the spirit realm while they had to try to find out how to bring you back.
We just all would have died. You would have found it out eventually. Lee was a very magnanimous DM, so.
That's true. You were benevolent.
I let you guys get away with some stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
I'm just imagining a point where you would just alone in a room with me say, roll to unlock universal truths?
Seems right. Yep.
Maybe I'll get back into it. I know I've said this before, but
yeah,
maybe I'll reread my notes and see if we can get our old campaign going again. Because, real quick, everybody here in the Zoom, raise your hand for me. Okay.
Trap,
now, put your hand down if you've been laid off. Oh, not so fast, me. Put your hand down.
Uh-oh, only one of us still has their hand up.
That's a tough joke.
Yeah.
You gotta laugh through
it,
the pain, I guess.
No, I'd play D. Hey, so if anyone wants to brainstorm that.
We should, now that we both have our whole days off.
Listen, we can't even get a fucking book club together. D&D just seems
I don't know what fucking happened there. Like, what's going on?
I didn't
want
to read smut. It was
No, that's fine.
I kept
You're
going.
Allowed to not read a book. I'm talking about the whole, how did everyone stop reading? Are we talking about this on our show?
You know what happened is, we were all going to do it this past weekend, and it was friend of the show Jeremy's birthday, and we all went way too hard for that, and then
I did get Faygo poisoning. Yeah.
Any book club after that, so
I have two different code words for being horribly hungover and having thrown up a bunch. And when I'm talking to you guys, it's called Faygo poisoning.
Yep.
And when I talk to my partner, it's called blackberry pie. And if anybody was at her birthday party that year, they know what's up.
Oh man, I would so much rather throw up Faygo 100 times than one time blackberry pie. That's awful.
The ginger makes it burn on the way back.
Just the colors I'm imagining are
the chunks, because there be seeds in there, and seeds don't break down. You're not a bird.
I had to throw out a rug, man. Like, it was bad. Like,
I haven't
there
done
was
that
no
since college.
That.
Ooh, child.
Yikes.
Did we ever say the episode number or any of that?
258.
258. Sorry.
What we didn't say was that you should check out our Twitter at Faking Movies, because Marielle works very hard.
Yes,
I know we went on a run for a while talking about Twitter dying. It sounds like it might really die this time.
Yeah,
around,
I think we're back. Yeah.
Yeah, we're back, everybody. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Elon
dinosaurs.
Doing his best to kill the platform. Yep.
Yeah. That's
so fucking stupid. I shouldn't care, but like
I like the jokes.
I know.
I like the very consumable jokes. It's not like Quibi.
You mean that thing that Twitter ended Reese Witherspoon's marriage?
Yeah, exactly. And yet, all these things like Tears in the Rain.
God, we can't join. Like, what is the next thing? I know Mastodon. I thought that was the super conservative. No, there's a couple of those. It's not Mastodon.
Yeah, no, Mastodon is just more like it's like chat rooms almost.
Yeah,
like it's topics.
Yeah, no. It's a lot.
I need a static thing. That's what's good about Twitter. You can just not participate.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I lurk on some Reddit pages for like shows and podcasts I like.
That's my only interaction with the internet is through Reddit.
In college, I used to use Metafilter for a similar thing. Metafilter is like incredibly curated. Like it's a community, but like you have to pay in one time, and then
honestly, that solves most of the problems.
Yeah, so you pay in one time for $5 or whatever it was, and then it's just like somebody posts a link to an interesting article, and then there's a discussion about that one article.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that's cool, but it's not very,
it's
creative. There isn't a lot happening there other than, like, people having fun nerd-ass discussions about, like, 15 links at a time.
It's a different, it scratches a different itch is what it sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is very fun. Like every time I'm listening to some podcast and I'm like, that was a weird thing that some comedian said and didn't name the person specifically. And every fucking time, it could have come out literally that morning. I go to Reddit and there's an entire thread about like, oh, here's exactly who they were talking about and the thing that they're referencing. I'm like, thank you, the internet. This is the thing that I need. Very much appreciated.
Yeah. It is very useful for that.
Actually use Twitter to get news a lot. There's like an emergency in the city where I live.
Oh yeah.
Or
yeah.
Like I hear sirens
Candyland.
Out the windows of Candyland, and then I find that horrible molasses monster who is a dirty bitch.
Freak bitch. Yeah.
is
oh, we're still talking about Candyland. I was like, what the fuck?
I'll send you a meme. But
that is for sure. That is the one fact of the universe. Seth will send you a meme.
One thing that's true and eternal in my life,
even in the aftertimes,
I'll get a meme from Seth.
Seth's gonna like scribble them on a piece of paper and like ship it via carrier pigeon or something.
That's true.
Seth's gonna get his own gyrocopter and skywrite memes for us.
Oh, little Nelly 3. not two. My father made Little Nelly 2, obviously.
Naturally. Oh,
well. From the hit.
My father's name is Little Nelly 2. Call me Seth.
Well, the first one is obviously from the James Bond film You Only Live Twice. We've talked about this ad nauseum.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. So
it's such a shame that that's such a profoundly racist movie.
Yeah.
So many incredible things.
There's like, really cool stuff.
About James Bond are from that movie. Volcano Lair. The version of Blofeld that inspires Dr. Evil. Gyrocopter.
I was gonna say, you're just naming Austin Powers things. And, like, unsurprising,
except
I guess.
They were from You Only Live Twice.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of really great action scenes in that movie. And then also Sean Connery playing dressed as an Asian man undercover with a bunch of samurai. Like
Hoovers.
Yeah, not great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It reminds me of like a Dr. Venture sketch or whatever. The first Dr. Venture, of course.
Right. Jonas Sr. Yeah. When is the movie coming out?
I don't know. I haven't been paying attention to it. I know it's coming, but
is it a movie? I thought they're currently in another season.
No,
just a movie.
It got canceled, and HBO Max was gonna fund a conclusion movie. But then again, HBO Max has been like canceling all of its animations, so who knows?
Hard to tell.
Okay.
So, Zach's faking a movie this week, I think.
Yeah, let's get into some good stuff.
Yeah, okay. So Zach, why don't you tell us what your movie is and give us the
cast?
Really
been trying to avoid struggling through this cast.
I need to let you in on something, Zach. Seth has completely forgotten did to you this week.
I don't remember.
In terms of the... So, dear listener, you know how Seth always chops and screws the casts for Zach, and they never do it to me, which just really tickles me. How he always fucks up Zach's cast really bad. He did it really bad this week.
They're usually good-natured and kind of fun. This is not that.
And he did it twice.
Do it twice.
There's two different ones.
I try to avoid parentheses-based programming languages like Lisp and Scheme, if at all possible.
Right,
and
right.
You have put me in the absolute eighth circle of that nightmare today.
Oh, good.
So,
okay.
In theory, this thing is very fun. In practice, it sucks shit. We'll give it a shot,
I'm
but
happy
no promises.
To help.
I want you to read all of the parentheses.
Oh,
all
I will. The problem is they don't match. They're not symmetrical in any way.
Oh, they should be.
I noticed that, and I thought you were doing it on
where
purpose.
Where did I fuck it up?
There's at least two times where they don't close or don't open. The first one doesn't open.
I may have been drunk when I was doing it.
Listen, I wouldn't
fault you.
Well,
it was
in
the middle of the day, so that checks out.
Yeah, naturally. Yeah.
You don't have a job.
Okay, I'll try to read these
is
even possible.
I see the errors, yeah.
You know, speaking
it's just
of
not going to compile.
So jobs.
Sorry. It's not going to compile.
This doesn't even remotely compile, no. You have a syntax error four characters into this.
I'm just realizing now, Seth, if there was ever a time for us to open a ska restaurant but do it right this time, it's right
That's true.
In the words of the theme song for On Her Majesty's Secret Service, we have all the time in the world.
Mm. Okay.
Okay. Big sip of wine. Here we go. We start with... Oh, my movie is called Accident Man.
Oh, yeah, Accident Man, yeah.
This is a movie that I discovered during Seth's previous episode, the most recent Seth episode, because I was looking up David Paymer movies while we were
talking about that.
Right.
It will become
horrible,
abundantly clear
movie.
That David Paymer is in this movie very quickly. We start with Ray... Paymer.
Oh, you're doing
Stephen
that one first?
Davidson.
Okay.
So, yeah, okay. So, open parenthesis, pay, close parenthesis, mer, other closed, unmatched parenthesis, Stephen, open parenthesis, David, close parenthesis, son. So, it's Ray Stevenson with Paymer. Just
John
randomly
Paymer,
sprinkled
David
in there.
It's really
there.
A much more visual joke.
Oh, for
it
sure.
It really is.
Yeah.
So it's, I'm such a great, so great for this medium.
I'm going to power through the rest. So at least you kept like syllables together on that one. This does not continue, unfortunately. moving on. We have Mike de Avidal Jai Paymer White. Tortured, if ever there was. I'm just gonna move on. I'll read the whole thing at the end.
You have to do the other one too.
Of course.
Yeah.
We this one I kind of like. We have Ravid Paymer.
That's my favorite
which,
one.
Kind of works, honestly.
I love my Ravid Paymer.
That was also my favorite. Mm-hmm.
Very good. We have Ashley Green with envy over not being David Paymer.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. And finally, in conclusion, David Paymer.
The
man, the legend.
Paymer.
I suppose that's another reading of the thing, yes.
Oscar nominee.
We'll send the entire text to Marielle so she can post it.
We'll say that we're going to do that.
Yeah,
sure.
We do never do that thing. That's true.
That's true.
All right, so Accident Man, Ray Stevenson, Michael Jai White, Ray Park, Ashley Green, and David Paymer himself.
Wait, what about the other text?
What other text?
There's a whole other one. I pinned them both.
Fuck? Oh, I didn't get that. Okay, hold on.
Get back into the fucking chat and pull it up, baby.
I can send it to you again if you want.
Is this going
to
take me 8,000 tries as well? Okay. We have... Oh boy, Accident Man, Ray Park Stevenson, Michelob Heavy, Ill Jai White, Ray Stevenson Park, Ashley the Big Green, who remembers that 1995 Steve Guttenberg gem, It Totally Sucked Except That Lee Liked It, ... the letter E, I don't know.
It's because Ashley Green has an E on the end.
Oh, she does
end.
Have the green E, yeah. Day Kid Vid from the BK Kids Club, Pamer, Maids in Neat Shells and Pearls, clap, 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 clap. Jesus. Well, it was slightly faster, I guess. I don't... We're grasping at straws. Christ alive.
That is how you pay mermaids.
Yeah.
Sure. Uh-huh. Sure.
That was unless a more... Unless they're a freak like Ariel and they want thingamajigs mm-hmm. from the surface.
Oh, yeah. Total that freak. That was a more traditional Seth Chop and Screw.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I think I prefer that version for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, we probably all do because the other one was a little difficult.
It was a challenge, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
Don't forget about... Michelob Heavy, Chill White.
I do like that, yeah. Is there a Michelob Heavy? I know Ultra is the light, but... Is there just a regular
Michelob?
It's,
it
a
might
Michelob
be like
banquet?
How there's not a regular Miller. You know?
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. High Life. I guess that's a light.
Genuine
well.
Draft, I believe, is the heavy.
Oh, MGD. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gross. Okay.
It is gross.
I have, count them, 6 failed ideas.
Oh,
this week.
Fuck. Wow. All right.
I really went on a tear when I heard this movie, and then these are all kind of bad, so we're going to power through.
Sweet.
Starting with movie about an insurance adjuster going out to see accidents that renounces his notably evil job of fucking people out of their deserved money. Mm-hmm. I think this is already a movie. I tried to Google it and I couldn't figure it out, but I don't know. Kind of a redemption for insurance person.
Oh, I think that's kind of the plot of Yes Man, the Jim Carrey movie.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Or wait, he's a loan officer and And Bradley Cooper is like, you have to say yes to stuff. So then he just starts approving all the loans. And the bank is like, this is great. You're approving all these tiny loans and everybody's really happy. And we're making tons of money because that's how you lose. Oh, God. It was right at the time of the financial crisis.
I was
going
to say that would have to have been like
out,
2006
that's how
probably.
You
yeah.
A bunch of people over.
Womp, womp. And the whole economy. Okay. Next one, a guy who had some childhood trauma, like some sort of horrible accident, and as a result has this extremely keen knack for identifying all possible failure points of any given situation, like to this unbelievable specificity. So, like, I wrote, this sounds like a USA procedural from the 2010s.
I was just going to say, like, I'm imagining, I remember on Psych the way, like,
right.
His vision would, like,
exactly
we get Psych
thing.
Vision.
Like,
yeah.
It zooms into
oh,
each individual,
I'm
like,
zooming
thing.
In. I think that those gaskets are frozen on that Challenger.
Exactly that, yeah.
Wow.
Well, not exactly that. That's dark as fuck. But...
One of the darkest days.
Sure enough.
Yeah.
In our nation's history.
Yeah. It was too cold in Florida. I don't understand.
Yeah. I always blame Florida. Mm-hmm. I'm down.
Florida.
This one, I tried to do a Seth, and obviously I'm very bad at it, but we have Accident Man. This man is all about accessories. In fact, it's basically his entire identity. Maybe he's like
a movie about me.
Right, maybe he's kind of a lot personality wise but like
a movie about me.
He gets caught up in some sort of thing and like is ends up the accessories end up being sort of the thing that like helps solve some crime or some shit. I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, next one, he's a contract killer, always makes it look like an accident. He's the best in the biz, but this time he falls for his target. I said feels like kind of a flipped Gross Point Blank, like that. This movie has for sure been done before, 100%.
Zach, I gotta tell you, I'm sorry, I have to tell you, that is the actual movie.
Yeah.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really fun. Yep. That was my number two. That one seemed like the most plausible.
We'll talk about it more after you do your story, but okay. Like you accidentally did the original idea for this show. Yep.
Very cool.
Oh,
very cool.
Yeah.
I was thinking, so I wrote that down and then I was like, wait, is that Gross Point Blank? And then I looked it up and it's not. It's like distinct, but it has the same thematic elements as it. And I was like, okay, maybe I'll do that. That's funny. Yeah.
It's not about him falling for his mark in the real Accident Man, but
okay.
It's actually not that far off of what it But the whole hitman who makes it look like an accident is the exact reason. They call me the accident man.
Sure.
Like, that's literally a thing they say in the movie.
Given that title, it's an obvious choice, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Crime scene cleanup, question mark? That's nothing.
Okay.
And
that's just sunshine cleaning.
Yep. He's an accident spin guy, quote unquote. If a bad thing happens and you need a narrative to support your agenda, he's the guy that you call. But this time it's personal and he finds some sort of moral compass or something. And I think this is just the show Scandal. Like, I'm almost certain that's just what Scandal
Oh, really? Was about. Okay. So what you're saying is this show's about a spin doctor. So, like, maybe there's there's some sort of, like, scandal with a royal family where there's two princes. And
we were doing the same joke.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or maybe they find, like, they have a client who's being really stubborn. They're a real Little Miss Can't Be Wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm. Name any other Spin Doctor song.
Yeah. Pocket Full of Kryptonite.
Ah, nope. Maybe. Yep. Isn't that a Three Doors Down song?
They're all on the same album. On the same album.
Fair enough. I saw that they were touring in my area in the year of our Lord, 2022, and I said, how is that possible?
I would maybe go if it were, like, less than $15.
But that would have to be the thing, yeah. Them and Gin Blossoms. Gin Blossoms come around here, like, every fucking year. I'm, like, grinding it out. Good on you.
I believe the, like, actual main songwriter of Gin Blossoms got kicked out of the band years ago because he was such a raging alcoholic that they couldn't handle him anymore.
Okay.
So they just stopped writing music.
It is called the Gin Blossoms.
That's true.
Yeah, it's about the nose thing. Yeah, I could see that. So they're just like a cover band. It's just the rest of the guys. That makes sense. Yeah.
Well, they just play their songs that already
not
existed.
A cover band, just a band. Right. I guess you call that a band.
It's called a band. They just stop making new music.
But what if we did it right this time? Kick out the alcoholic guy early. Okay. Yes.
Then they wouldn't have had any songs.
That's a good point. You need him for just a little bit, at least. Yeah.
So you need a Gallagher brother before you can get rid of. The
ideally,
other
not
brother.
Both, but if you have to, Okay. Real movie. We open on a static intersection. The light changes, and a sedan creeps into the middle bits just as an SUV barrels through and just houses this sedan.
Cool.
Giant jump scare, like pre-credits, cold open, the whole thing. So, cut to the next day. Paymer is having lunch with his family. I think, based on Paymer's age, I'm putting Ashley Green as maybe playing too young for her currently, but, like, teenaged-ish. Like, maybe it was a couple years ago. I don't know.
Wait, real quick. If you had made the Hitman one, would Paymer have been your Hitman?
Obviously, yes, of course. Paymer was the main character always, yes. Has to be. He's unassuming. He makes a great Hitman. Like, you don't.
There is a Hitman whose whole deal is that in this movie.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Ray Stevenson is his kind of strange matchup husband. So the story about the car wreck is playing on TV. No one's really paying attention except for Paymer, who hears his own name. And I'm probably just going to call him David Paymer, the character in this.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Hears his own name in the low volume background radio. So they all swing around to focus on this story, noting that the person in the car was obviously killed and happened to have indeed his exact same name. Very weird. They're like, huh. Story notes, it didn't seem that he had any close family that survived him. This is obviously a huge tragedy. Like, it was a genuinely brutal accident. This, of course, is weird, but not entirely consequential. So they mostly go on with their day. Paymer goes to work alongside suspiciously buff Michael Jai White and Ray Park. Like, you put those two guys next to each other and you're like, something's going on here. I don't like any of this. I noted here, send the most recent Instagram picture from Ray Park's Instagram to you guys, which I will do now. It is really something. I was realizing this morning, Googling Ray Park, I was like, I know him as Darth Maul. Mm-hmm. I do not know what he looks like as a human being. He's just kind of a white guy. Like, not a lot going on there.
That's true.
You know, like, when I was watching the actual movie, I remember him as Darth Maul, yeah. And also, what's it called? Toad from the first X-Men movie.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's a much beefier dude.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Yeah.
So could someone please read out the very few words that, again, are the most recent post on Ray Park's Instagram?
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Do you want to? I can do it.
Yeah, but you got to do it in the Toad accent from X-Men.
Wow.
I don't remember what Toad sounds like from X-Men.
Hmm.
Oh, it was a Cockney accent, wouldn't it?
Oh, no.
Yeah, sorry,
I
man.
Will not be doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
I am deeply sorry.
I am deeply sorry.
Okay, we can't both. Oh, like one or the other.
Okay,
one
no, or the Lee, other. You do it. You do
okay.
It.
I am deeply sorry for disrespecting my wife last week and my two, the number two, loving children by posting while I was extremely intoxicated.
End of
it's
message.
It's all black background with white text.
Just
yeah.
a bunch of text.
Well, he has a comment cool here thing. That says, my wife is an amazing woman. I am my very wife. Lucky to be in her life.
What the fuck did yep. he do?
I don't know, man. I couldn't find any details, but I'm curious.
I'm assuming he deleted it.
Yeah. I bet Reddit would know now, having just discussed that.
No, that's a good point.
Anyway, that was just a very fun diversion mm-hmm. for me today. But, yes. So, Mike mentions to Michael and Ray Park that... he saw this story, obviously, or he's telling to, Mike is talking to Paymer. He saw this story and he's like, that was fucking weird, right? And Paymer's again, just like, yeah, it was, but kind of shrugs it off. So cut to a few days later and he has to go through some security, probably like at an airport or something. And to his great surprise, the person taking the IDs does a, huh, and like scans it again. And Paymer looks a little nervous because that's always kind of nerve wracking. Mm-hmm. And he asks like, well, what's going on here? And the guy says, it says here that you're dead. And he like spins the screen around, noting that the picture is definitely David Paymer. So like he's looking at the dead picture and like the actual living guy's face. So he's confused. Hmm. But it definitely says that he's dead. So the guy indicates that he can't let him through and apologizes. And Paymer's like irritated and kind of confused, but he accepts this and leaves. So at home later, he's talking to Ray, his husband. Who would cast two Rays in a movie? This is just untenable.
Mm-hmm.
And Ashley, his daughter, and explains this weird situation. They, of course, bring up the car wreck, and he remembers, noting that it must have just been some like weird DMV mix-up or something. And then
yeah,
he...
like one of those very innocent clerical errors that takes weeks, if not months, of your life to clear up.
Welcome to
or
my movie.
Sometimes years, confusingly.
Uh-huh. I am in the middle of one of these right now, which I will explain later. And that was the motivation
you
for this
shouldn't
entire thing.
Explain it
yes.
later.
When you could explain it to us after the show. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, I when you started saying that, I'm like, oh, Zach's going through a a thematically similar situation.
Well,
right
I, there's a couple. The one I'm referencing is wife of the podcast had a car mm-hmm. that she was paying the loan on in North Carolina. It has been registered in the state that we currently live in for years now, and neither state wants to give her a title for this car, which is very much paid off and rotting away in my driveway, and it's very frustrating. Yes. So anyway, that's kind of where
well,
we
you
are.
Bought a stolen motorcycle before. I'm sure you could offload this car,
which I got a fucking title for, a stolen motorcycle, and I succeeded in getting a title for that. I don't know. I feel like I have to conjure, like make up a situation in which this car is stolen and then follow those same steps
yeah.
to eventually con my way into a title mm-hmm. or something. I don't know.
Interesting.
Like, yeah. I trust me. I have thought about it, and it's, oh my God, so frustrating. Anyway, okay. So yeah, he's like kind of still brushing it off. He'll straighten it out tomorrow. So we cut to that. He's explaining what happened to the person on the other end of the phone at some unnamed government agency. They note that, yeah, it probably was just kind of a mix-up, and he'll have to call this other place to fix it. Having spent 45 minutes on hold, he kind of gives up for the day and mostly forgets about it and just kind of sure. moves on, thinking mm-hmm. like, meh, whatever. We cut to a bit in the future, and he's again at work when a stranger shows up and asks, are you David Paymer? And confused, he says yes, a thing you should never do when asked that question.
Mm-hmm. Who's asking?
Exactly. Or you just run away in the other direction. Confused, he says yes, and the guy hands him an envelope and starts to walk away. Still more confused, he calls back to the guy, and while opening the envelope... he reveals a check for seven.
Knockout gas.
No, no, not that exciting. A check for $7 million, like massive, giant sum of money. Immediately asks the guy, like, "What is? I don't understand. Like, what's happening here?" And the guy explains, "It appears he is David Paymer, the only beneficiary to David Paymer's very generous life insurance policy." David stumbles to get his thoughts out, understandably, because the situation is absurd. Obviously, the main fault here is, does this guy think that he has both A, died, and B, can benefit from his own life insurance policy? Like, those two worlds cannot coexist. That's just impossible.
Juniors and thirds and everything.
That is possible. But ultimately,
I do like the idea of, in like a particularly dark comedy, like a character killing themselves and because sure. they were trying to get their life insurance payout.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. Not quite that weird. But yeah, the guy mumbles, he shrugs and mumbles something like, they don't pay me enough, and just walks away. Which, yep. again, is true for all of these situations. Yep. It's just like, mm-hmm. not my problem. Fuck
100%.
Off. Yes. So still very confused. He talks us over with Darth and Mike, his coworkers, and their position is largely...
Darth. Good way, yep, good way around like the double
I'm race. Realizing yeah. now it took me halfway through to realize that Rey
Double
Rey's...
Ray is just like a double-bladed hey. Lightsaber.
Right on, right on. Double parts of body, just like after the lightsaber.
Yeah, oh, you bisect it. Yeah.
So their position is largely like, fuck it. If this guy doesn't care, the guy that literally just showed up and handed you this money, mm-hmm. You've effectively won the lottery. Like, take it. Don't even question it.
I feel like you gotta go talk to a lawyer.
Right, as one should, yes. He's very skeptical, of course, and kind of puts it out of his mind for the time being. Later on, he's discussing it with the family at home, and they have a similar kind of position. Though Ray, husband Ray, is confused that he didn't work this out weeks ago when the whole thing happened. David is swayed by all of these conversations and decides, like, yeah, whatever. He's going to cash it, and he's worked hard his whole life. He deserves some sort of, like, magical universal karma.
Ability
or something.
To retire. Mm-hmm. He deserves some sort of ability to somehow retire.
Yeah, one would hope.
Yes.
Yeah. So the depositing the check scene is crafted in a way that makes it seem very tense because he obviously knows that he's doing something technically wrong, and isn't generally a troublemaker. He looks like David Paymer. So like you can kind of guess his personality, right? So he's extremely nervous and that is made very clear. Nonetheless, it goes off without a hitch. The bank people also don't really seem to notice where the check is from or anything about it. And it's just like, they're all on autopilot and they couldn't give any shits about this whole situation.
That's the dream.
Exactly. Well, no, that seems to be the thing he's encountering over and over. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he walks out and effectively does like the in the air heel click celebration, you know, succeeded at this like technically fraud. But not again, sure many David people could have stopped him. Off, nobody did.
But like maybe if we wire him sure. up.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could do some wire work and maybe pipe in, you know, they Star Wars made the Wilhelm scream famous. What if we pipe in Anakin's yippee from the end of the pod race? And
oof.
Make that a recurring
try spinning
sound,
that's a cool
clip.
Trick
you'd probably give mm-hmm. Ray Park some nightmares for like a month and a half but maybe
oh fuck Jake Lloyd hit me up for money again
again with this shit Jake stop it so the middle bits of this movie are him slowly starting to dip into the money for things that him and his family have always wanted. Mm-hmm. He also helps out his work buds because they all have sort of normal human expenses that everyone has. And it's like, you can never really get above board and that whole thing is a mm-hmm. nightmare. So he's doing the right thing with the money. So he thinks, he does also realize that now he's spending this money. He has to really commit to being officially dead. Like he sort of has to be more careful because he can't just give it all back now. So at first this doesn't really seem to have any additional consequences, but slowly the cracks start to form in this plan. He can no longer work because the IRS thinks he's dead. Mm-hmm. Thus it would tip them off if he was still paying into Social Security or income tax withholdings or whatever it might be. It all sort of comes to a head when he can't legally witness his daughter's wedding, I think. Like mm-hmm. he can't sign the paper saying like, yeah, it's me. Nor officially provide benefits, et cetera, for his husband, which has perhaps like heightened emotional implications because of same-sex marriage and like all the rights that come along with that and whatever. Mm-hmm. So like there are like emotional problems with this eventually sure. is what I'm getting at. So eventually it all comes to a head when they're doing a family vacation and again realize that he can't go because it requires travel by plane. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of discussions like, what's the point of all this if you can't enjoy it? And like, it sucks that we can't live normal lives. Like, I wish we could go back and not do this thing. So he resolves to fix this, even if it has legal consequences for having taken the money in the first place. He cannot be the accident man anymore. He like has to make this right.
Mm-hmm. Drink.
So he shows up at the Social Security office, a place that I have been that is maybe the most soulless place. Like,
yeah, it's
the DMV
rough.
-4 is like the Social Security office. Mm-hmm. It sucks.
Interesting.
Oh my God. Yeah. And speaking of people who have no interest in solving your problems, no. It's just the worst. And so he lays out this whole problem to this person who doesn't care. They're a bit confused, but the person actually remembers this accident since it was brutal and like made big news. With almost no struggle or effort, they explain that, yeah, this happens sometimes. They'll just reverse it and everything should go back to normal. Mm-hmm. He's confused. Like, this shouldn't be this easy. But he accepts it and leaves knowing he has to climb the final hill. He has to call the insurance company and like talk to them about something. So he goes home, prepares for the worst, literally like shaking as he's making the call. And he again finds that the person is surprisingly dismissive of the whole situation, seeming to be only sort of half paying attention. She explains, oh, yeah, I've seen this a few times in my time. Well, you know what? That's on us. Like, we'll just write it off anyway. Don't worry about it. And then just hangs up the phone. So David is in literal shock. He like figured that his life was effectively over, that he'd have to like declare bankruptcy and work until he died to dig himself out of this hole. Mm-hmm. But in the end, bureaucracy both gave him the world and then let him entirely off the hook for it, because at the end of the day, nobody cares that much about their job. They just everybody's just rubber stamping
that's
everything.
That's the moral.
Yep. Yep. So that's the accident, man.
Okay.
He wins
okay,
in the
I
end.
Like it. yeah. Okay. I was worried that he was gonna die of a heart attack. Like, and then at the end, it's like, ooh, what a Twilight Zone this was.
There no, was it time wins. Now.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, the one consistency is that no one cares about anything in their soulless jobs. Yeah.
Hey. Sounds like late stage.
Yeah. Which is kind of pertinent right now. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So
cool and fun.
That's the whole biz. Yeah.
Zach, you want the real deal?
I feel like I kind of know, but yes, I do. Yes, of course.
Gotta be yes.
Yeah, I knew it.
Of course, dude. I do it every
That's
time.
Nice to have like a built-in.
Yeah, man.
Thing, I guess.
I know. Go do. Go do.
Shit. What's my my wife just got home.
Oh. Your wife.
We should get back. We should get back into it.
All right. Are you going to segue or am I? Are you going to segue or am I?
You should, because I already set up the segue earlier.
Fine.
Hey, Zach, you want that IMDb?
I mean, I guess, yes.
Okay, here
not,
is...
Not at all seamless.
Here is the IMDb for the...
I'm going to cut from the point where Seth says I have to go pee to that.
Uh-huh. Like, yeah, sure. Just perfect.
For the 2018 film.
Okay. Yep.
The Accident Man. So Mike. You know it's always good when you have names. Mike is a this is a three sentence summary, by the way. Mike is a tough hitman who makes his hits look like accidents or suicides.
Okay.
He's in a gang of hitmen, each with their own style. When his loved ex is killed, Mike looks for those responsible.
Oh, it's a revenge tale.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's apparently based on a comic series, like an indie comic.
I could see that.
Is it the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the one from the 80s that's really dark?
No, it's just called Accident Man.
That makes more sense, yeah.
More sense, Zach, there was the main star of the movie we did not give you, on the off chance that you knew who they were, just because we didn't want to like make it obvious what the genre of this movie is.
Okay.
Do you know who, I already forgot. Scott Adkins. You know who Scott Adkins is?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
He's in like every VOD action movie that involves lots of like white guy karate.
Sure. So yeah. I guessed off mic that it might be JCVD or Steven Seagal, and I was pretty close then.
That's true.
A lot of white guy karate. Like,
yeah.
That's true.
Yep.
Now, I would never, ever ask you guys to watch a Steven Seagal movie. No matter how much I want to torture y'all with movies on this show, I would never put
He's also, you know, a horrible monster person.
So. Yeah, he is a bootlicker of the worst kind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this Scott Adkins fellow looks aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking to Seth about this earlier this week. In this movie's set in London.
Okay.
And he does this like really gruff voice the whole time.
Yeah.
Like this gruff British voice. And I truly didn't know that he was, like, I looked it up. I was like, oh, he is British. Okay. So maybe that it sounded so put on.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up like an interview with him, and he has a very like
normal
sounding voice.
Okay.
And the only thing I could think of is like while they were sound mixing the movie, they put the Statham sliders all the way up to 10.
Sure.
Like it's just his normal voice plus like bruv.
Yeah,
I'm the accident man.
I'm the accident man. I make it look like an accident.
He's the titular guy.
Mike Fallon, the accident.
He is the eponymous accident.
Wow, good names in this. Michael Jai White plays Mick. There's a person named Amy Johnson who plays Jane the Ripper. Love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, God damn. Yeah, we'll get into that.
She's like a Uma Thurman in Kill Bill. Is her vibe?
I can see that.
Max,
yeah, this looks like
a samurai sword and a motorcycle. Yeah,
count me in. This looks
terrible. Ray Park plays a guy named Mac, and Mac and Mick are partners.
Oh, okay.
They're former American Special Forces soldiers.
Well, one is a British Special Forces, one is American Special Forces.
Oh, you're right. Yes. Sorry.
They're both.
And David Paymer plays a guy named Milton. Yep. Surprise. Nope.
He's their go-between. Yeah. He's the guy that, like,
that would be his
handles
thing.
The contracts and the payments.
Yeah, so maybe
he's effectively the accountant, basically.
No, that's exactly what he is. Yeah.
Okay. That is literally, I think he's referred to as the accountant.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
So like
I think the quickest way to like get through this movie is just to tell you what everybody's
like MO is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Seems like it lends itself to that. Yeah.
Yeah. So Ray Stevenson owns a bar for hitmen where they all kind of congregate and they do business with David Paymer, who's the accountant, and he's their middleman. Mm-hmm. He sets them up with their contracts.
How come we never like walk into these bars by accident? Like,
I don't think you're allowed in.
Oh, okay.
By accident. Well, I think it's like a club.
Yeah,
you know,
something like, yeah. Oi, sure. Bruv, you ain't
members only.
Yeah, what's that code word? Cockney rhyming slang. And then you'd be like, I don't know, Barney Rubble, because it's trouble. And then they'd punch you.
Yet again, I think that's how that works, yeah, but I'm not sure. Yeah,
that one is cockney rhyming slang, because Seth brings that up more than once, and I have looked that
one
up.
Yeah, okay.
Of course
okay.
I do. It's the only word I know.
Yeah. So Scott Adkins is, as we mentioned, the accident man. His whole deal is he makes things look like they're accidents.
Why wouldn't
Ray Stevenson owns the bar?
That's so much obviously the effective way to be a hitman. That should be everybody's thing.
He does a whole voiceover explaining all these different things and like how there's different crime killings call for different types of styles.
Okay.
Ray Stevenson is the owner of the bar and he's essentially like their assassin pimp because he takes like a cut of everything.
I was gonna say he is getting up in age. It would be kind of weird if he was still one of the crew.
He spends almost the whole movie behind a bar.
Okay, that fits. Yeah, that makes sense.
Other than some flashbacks where we find out that he was essentially like Mike's surrogate father because Mike was an orphan and Mike just videotaped him killing a bunch of people when he was a teen.
Oh,
and then he trained
and then,
like
sort
that's
of
how
blackmailed
they...
him into being trained, and then Ray Stevenson was essentially like, hey, you blackmailed me. All right, that's cool enough. I'm not going to murder you.
You got balls
so
on your kid.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yep. All right.
You got nothing to lose.
Helps.
Michael Jai White, a.k.a. Spawn, Ray Park, a.k.a. Darth Maul, are the two former soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a team, and their specialty is making it look like gang
like
related
a
violence.
Petty crime. Oh. They always tag the places that they're like it's just breaking
like a robbery gone wrong or like drug addicts, so which is
same
plays into the movie
same kind of vein. You're trying to cover it in some way that makes sense. Yeah.
Right.
Make it seem like just normal There's... everyday crime and not a hit.
Right. Yeah, okay.
There's another beefy dude who I imagine has played a Viking on some Viking TV show at some point, and his deal is that he murders people with an axe, and he gets hired when the like person who takes out the contract wants to prove a point. Like, you know,
he's the messy
name,
version.
His name is Ross O'Hennessy, and in the show or in the movie, his name is Carnage Cliff.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
His IMDb picture is him with a giant sword. So, makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
There's a little wormy guy.
Ooh, he was
who
in Dragonheart
people.
Vengeance.
Well, there
the
you go.
Video game.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a little wormy, disgusting guy who actually he's more like a rat than a worm.
Yeah.
And he poisons people. And then there's this like older, very British guy who just looks like someone who wants to watch the darts at the pub. And his thing is that he's a finesse killer. So he tries to invent things to kill people in unexpected ways.
Oof.
And this becomes very important in the movie because he invents like band-aids that'll poison you when you put them on.
Yeah, and his
really in it for the love of the game.
Yeah, his
yeah. He, he had like one successful hit in the 80s, and it was so successful that he keeps getting like funding from someone to like invent
from Hit DARPA.
Yeah, from Hit DARPA. And he his current like test method is he randomly chooses names out of the phone book and then murders them.
Oh no. Yeah. That's just called murders.
It's very indiscriminate. And it's mostly just to test out methods.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Kinda sucks actually. He sucks.
Yeah.
And then Ashley Green plays, and we talked about Jane the Ripper already.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley Green plays the girlfriend of the main character's ex-girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Like his girlfriend left him for Ashley Green, essentially.
So she was,
and he starts the movie thinking about how like, I think she might have been the love of my life and I fucked it up. Mm-hmm. And then she gets murdered off camera because like we never actually get to meet her.
I was going to say, why is that character more important than the ex-girlfriend? That seems like a way more critical character.
Yeah, because the ex-girlfriend gets murdered off camera, and then...
Sure.
And then he meets up with Ashley Green and be like, oi, bruv, what happened to me ex-girlfriend?
Okay.
Yeah, so basically what happens is...
Who is pregnant with me child, which we learn later.
Which he learns after she dies, you know.
Sure, gotta have that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Basically... she was a climate activist and got like a whistleblower, gave her a bunch of info on this, these very powerful people. And they hired hitmen to take her out, and it's Ray Park and Michael Jai White do it. And it makes it look like it's drug addicts who they also purposely OD and kill to cover up their tracks. So it's like, oh, it was these guys.
Okay.
Yeah. So the whole movie is the main accident man, like tracing the steps to try to find like
who.
I can't blame my friends. They were just doing a job. I have to find out who started the chain so I can get revenge. But along the way, he also finds out that part of the chain involved bribing David Paymer to also put a hit on the accident man. So because he also killed another person involved in the case.
So
and they're trying to like take out every
everyone.
It's
involved.
A no honor among like, thieves kind of situation.
Yeah, clean up the loose ends essentially.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, this movie's actually kind of boring.
Yeah.
Like because there's a lot of plot and voiceover. But it's really just in service of taking you from one action scene to another. So there's just a lot of fight scenes.
I could see that.
And the fight scenes are pretty good.
Yeah, okay. They are. They're well choreographed for the most part.
At some point, he decapitates a businessman with a samurai sword. So that's pretty cool.
That's at the very end.
Love it.
In fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It turns out like David Paymer turned on all of them because he was greedy. Mm. And he ends up dying at the end because the only people that make it out of this movie, Ashley Green does because she's only like tangentially connected.
She's an innocent, effectively. Kind of. So she has to.
Yeah,
they try to kill her.
Yeah. Well.
Ray and Michael J. White try to kill her,
but yeah, she survives, but like it's not as important that she, because like once she's out of danger, she's out of the movie.
Sure.
But the people that survive are Ray Winston. Not Ray Winston. He's not in this movie. Ray Stevenson. Our Ray Stevenson, the Scott Adkins, the main guy, the accident man, and then the dude who like invents the things. Mm-hmm. So he invented the bandage. And what happens is he gives accident man the bandages at some point in the movie, and accident man beats the shit out of David Paymer, and he gives him some bandages, and Paymer. Yep.
Fun. Okay.
Kills himself accidentally. Yep. And the end of the movie is like Ray being like, you got to get out of here. Like, you ruined my business. You destroyed the sanctity of our like clubhouse bullshit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Accent Man rides his Triumph motorcycle on into the sunset.
Every fucking time.
It's always a Triumph.
It is.
Well, they're British.
They are.
Even then.
I guess fine. I've ridden one, a newer one. It was boring. Like, I don't know.
It was very new. Yeah, it was definitely a new
Triumphs
one.
Triumphs are really, like, jarring, right? They're very, like,
like, twitchy?
Well, yeah, I mean, they do insult comedy, Seth. That's gonna be jarring.
Were you doing the comic dog joke? Is that? That's...
Yeah, I was watching a lot of Conan.
That's really fun. Yeah. No, I found it just very dull. It was like a moped-style ride.
Maybe mine wasn't tuned very well, because it was, kind of a rough ride. It was an older one. It was like an 80s boy. So.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, this movie's fine. I got excited when I saw David Paymer in the cast, and then I had heard good things about Scott Adkins movies, and you know, it was,
you'd think any action scenes are good, right? Any action movie has to be some sort of baseline enjoyable, because like you do all the fast cuts and all that shit, and like
there's a sequel to that.
I was just gonna say, I noticed that was the number one thing. Original title Accident Man 2, actual title Accident Man : Hitman's Holiday. Fun.
I read the summary for it. He moves to, I think, Malta and gets embroiled in like the crime families there, and then Ray and the inventor guy are also there.
That's fun. Money on this? Do these make money? Is this a VOD?
It's VOD, so there's no like, I don't have like any money numbers for you.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, if they made a second one, it must have done something,
I guess. Like,
it did well enough for them to make a second VOD. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it kind of just generally sucked. I don't know. It was pretty boring.
That seems right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think in general, like these VOD action movies, other than the, what are they called? Geezer teasers, the ones that are explicitly made as money laundering schemes in Eastern Europe.
Yep.
I read a whole article about it last year. I forget. But anyway, if other than that branch of action movie, like VOD action movies, I think there's always like a built-in audience. Like there are people who, there's a new Scott Adkins movie, I'm gonna pay $8.99 to rent it.
I
like,
mean,
who are those people though? Like, I don't understand that.
Yeah,
but... Well, I mean, like, think about it this way though. Like, there's, you love horror movies. Like, if there was a horror series, there's a horror series that I know you don't even like, but you go out of your way to see it at a movie theater.
That is true. That is very true. And even those, I come out going like, meh, but I'm gonna keep doing this.
We all watched Money Plane. Somebody together. Somebody paid for that, I think.
No, we didn't.
That was on Prime or something. I think,
Well, I have a downloaded copy on my computer, but we did watch it.
Still,
we found it streaming somewhere illegally. Yeah.
Niles, the worst thing happened today.
Yeah. It sure did.
Do you remember what?
And it was
what,
the Lawrence brothers. It turns out that the worst thing was the Lawrence brothers.
Yeah, because they're all in it and they directed it, right?
Wait, the Joey Lawrences and the all
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Whoa, no shit.
Yeah, did you not?
I don't think I was part of that.
How many Lawrence brothers were in that movie?
I don't know that. I think I was traveling when this happened or something.
I think this was in deepest, darkest pandemic.
It was early Pando when we weren't leaving our houses.
No, I was back to work at that time. So it was like at the earliest June 2020.
That's early. Yeah.
That fucking movie. Do you remember what Fraser's name was in that movie? His character?
No.
Was it Frasier?
Darius the Rumble Gooch.
Oh, Darius Gooch, the Rumble.
Yeah, you had me at Darius. The rest is superfluous.
Isn't that the fucking craziest character name, regardless of who plays it? Yes. Like,
boy, that movie.
I'm Kelsey Grammer, and I'm going to play the Rumble.
Rumble.
I have no standards anymore. No one wants to hire me because I'm difficult.
Does anyone want to drink my Jesus beer that I have?
Even my daughter won't talk to me, and she's famous too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. They were in a movie together not that long ago.
Oh, maybe they do talk then. I don't know. I just assume he sucks, like Alec Baldwin.
No, I mean, it might have been longer than I think. Yeah.
No, this movie is kind of a nothing. I don't know. I have nothing to really talk about here.
Sure.
Yeah, same. It's like, it looks very slick in the way that things that were never supposed to be on a movie screen look.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Okay.
There's like a version of digital video that you can tell was formatted for a TV screen.
Right. Where if it was on a movie screen, it would look obviously stupid, but you're like, they can kind of fudge it a little bit because it's,
I assume they shot it in London. He definitely rides a motorcycle around London.
Yeah.
Sure. So well, you can B-roll that, to be fair. That was my follow-up question, having just talked about, like, do these make money? Like, action movies have to be among the more expensive things, right? There's a lot of stunt sequences and coordination and, like, all that shit. Like, explosions.
Well, that's true, but, like, almost all of this movie is practical. There's not really any explosions that I remember.
Okay. Not really. There's, like, maybe a car that explodes or something.
Maybe, there's a car accident, but it's, like, a shitty fucking hatchback that they crash into a wall.
Oh, yeah, and pin a dude as a murder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, always good.
That was one of his accidents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, this movie is mostly practical. It's all squibs and flashes from muzzle flash and like, it's a lot of hand to hand too. So it's not really. Yeah.
And I guess if you hire people that are already very good at that thing, they just do the thing and then it's whatever.
Well, fucking Spawn and fucking Darth Maul just had a hand to hand fight with this dude in the movie.
That's just a Tuesday for them. Like,
Right. Like,
yeah. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's okay.
Sure. Yeah.
It's on Prime, you know, you got nothing else to do. It's a great I'm doing chores movie.
Yeah.
Because you can look up and see the cool parts.
Yeah. That's fair. Mm-hmm. When it gets louder, you go, what's all that over there? And then, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's like long stretches of dialogue, and you're like,
yeah, right. No thanks.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the long stretches of dialogue are voiceover. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. Oh,
well,
because it's not even people talking. So it's not even dialogue. It's voiceover monologue. Mm-hmm. Like,
if there's nothing else to talk about, which there's very little for this movie, the IMDb rating with 11,000 votes is a 6.2.
Oof. Okay. So this is one of those only people that are. That this movie is designed for are the people that are seeing it. It sounds like,
yeah,
not a lot of people.
People who want to watch it are the people who watch it.
Yeah, not a lot of people stumbling on it and going, "Ooh, this sucks."
Yeah,
which is kind of what we did.
Well, sure.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Okay, I don't remember Zach's movie, but
Paymer,
I can go first.
I can rate it. Just give me a hint.
Paymer doesn't die, but accepts the money for a person who did die.
Ah, yeah, it's insurance fraud. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So,
I like that title, insurance fraud: colon the movie.
It could happen to you.
which is already a movie that we've done on this show.
The original is kind of nothing, but as Lee said, it's a good laundry movie.
Yes. Certainly.
It's good to just sort of have on in the background, but it generally kind of sucks. And I was bored, especially for the first half hour.
Yeah, nothing really kicks in until about 36 minutes. So you could kind of scrub through the first 36 if you're watching this.
Sure.
I'm seeing hour 45 on the runtime. Mm-hmm. That's kind of long. Maybe.
It could have been shorter.
Yeah, definitely could have been shorter. I don't know. I'm going to give it like a 3.5.
Okay.
Zach,
not the intended audience. That makes sense.
You know, yeah, I'm definitely not. Zach, for the insurance fraud, the movie. if there were more hot dogs, like Hot Dog the movie, I would have probably rated you higher.
Shit.
But there's not really hot dogs in Hot Dog the movie.
That does.
I know.
Seem
that's
to be the
why
case.
I rated that one so low. Also,
I see.
Things should be about the things they're about.
Well, insurance fraud, the movie, is about insurance fraud.
Yeah,
just
it's
so
true.
Uh-huh.
The accident. I'm going to give you, a 7?
Okay, that seems fair. Yeah, I mean, again, I rattled off like 16 ideas I had. None of them were particularly good, including the one that was this literal movie. So I wasn't feeling great about any of them. That's fair.
That's fair. If you had chopped and screwed it more... you probably would have gotten
Got somewhere interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe
I should have spent more time on that.
I don't think that should be that you should be penalized for not doing the crazy thing that Seth does, though.
But it can often lead to very interesting movies.
Yeah, that's my brand, not yours. Depends. That's fine. I get it.
Yeah.
So. I'm looking here at the director of this movie, this guy Jesse V. Johnson.
Oh, these are really fun for VOD because they usually have like 6,000 directing credits.
Well, at least on their Wikipedia, if they have a ton, they've curated it. It's only certain ones.
Oh, sure.
So he does seem to like consistently work with the same couple actors, and he's gone through different phases of different people he works with.
Yeah.
And he's worked with Scott Adkins a few times, it looks like. But I just want to point out he did Green Street Hooligans 2. Mm-hmm.
Oh my.
Which I did not know
existed.
Yep.
No, the first one,
but
it
his
wasn't
most...
that good. Why would they make a second?
Yeah, I mean, because it was like a little cult movie,
it was.
You get your...
Yeah.
It's like Waiting and Still Waiting. Why is there Still Waiting?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the most recent movie this guy directed is called White Elephant, And it stars Michael Rooker, Bruce Willis, and John Malkovich.
What the fuck?
And wow. And the poster says, White Elephant, live by a code, die by a bullet.
I feel like I've been seeing Malkovich in more things that seem very beneath him recently.
He has had lots of tax problems at different points.
Oh, he's in his Nick Cage pyramid phase. Yeah, he's like, I have to pay this shit
always. I don't understand how you always was. Just don't hire an accountant.
Sometimes you do, and they just fuck you,
well,
I think is the problem.
Like, yes.
I don't think that was Nick Cage's problem, to be fair. I don't know about Malkovich, but...
Yeah, Nick Cage sounded like he had a real intense spending issue. But
yeah, he had a Johnny Depp pyramids. $30,000 a month on wine kind of situation. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fine, but like, geez, just hire two accountants. It's probably way cheaper. Just
ultimate redundancy.
Or like, yeah, it would just go to like a reputable firm. Look at your other accountant's stuff and make sure it's on the up and up, and that would not take any more effort.
True.
It costs you $2,000 more. Oh, oopsie daisy.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Go to like a reputable firm who like deals with wealthy people's money. Like, why do celebrities hire like fly by night accountants? They hire their friends.
It's the Dane Cook thing. You hire your brother and then he steals all of your money. Yeah.
I don't understand.
It's weird.
I just don't get it. There are people that do this for a living that are very good at it.
Many of them, yes.
Yeah.
That is weird. Bruce Willis, that's sad because he's not acting anymore.
No, he's
hope that's not
of,
his last thing.
He's sort of lost his everything.
Yeah, he's got I don't think he's got health issues, yeah. Who was the first person you mentioned? Oh, Michael Rooker.
Michael Rooker.
Days of Thunder. And also the Guardians movies, I think.
Henry Portrait of a Serial.
Of those three, he feels the most at home in that kind of situation.
Yeah, he's a really good actor who has never really been a huge star.
Yeah, I think he's a lot, though, too. People describe him kind of in the same as Gary Busey. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just very unhinged,
very
I think.
Very intense. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, he was on The Walking Dead, wasn't he?
Yes. For, he got killed pretty early, but yeah, he was pretty famous on that, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. All right.
Do it.
Usually I'm the one that's just belaboring the point forever.
That's true. Zach, I liked your movie. I like that you brought so many options to the table. You got to get at least one bonus point for guessing the actual movie.
Oh, I'd love to see it. Okay.
Yeah. So I guess that'll push you up to an 8 for me.
All right. Perfect. This does feel like a 7 kind of movie. Like,
It's like an early fall where like, oh, maybe they're going to try to do a festival run and get an Oscar. And it's like,
no,
not even close.
They're just trying to get the families who already saw the summer blockbusters that are still in theaters and they need something new to see. Yep. That's what this is. And I'm here for
it. It's a real late September kind of. Yeah.
The real movie. Yeah. You know, fine. I'll give it a 4. I'm not going to watch the sequel. I don't give a shit. But yeah. I would watch YouTube compilations of the fights.
Okay. There's a big difference between like aggressively intentionally bad and just like, it's whatever. Like, and this seems like the latter.
I think the problem is like they decided that they had this story that they really liked. And it's just that the story isn't as good as they think.
I mean, again, in coming up with 6 other ideas, I stumbled upon like half of it, right? So
that's
sort of telling, I think. Yeah.
So that was Accident Man. That was me learning that just because David Paymer's in a movie doesn't mean it's going to be fun to watch.
Wow.
Well, that
2 weeks in a row.
Certainly goes for the one we did last week.
Why do you keep doing this?
Yeah.
I don't know, because I like David Paymer.
There are some real David Paymer wins, for sure.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. And the dude wants to work,
the
chill
factor.
The last week's was a goddamn TV movie. This was a VOD movie. Like, he wants to work. I don't fault him that. That seems fun.
Hire David Paymer for your movie.
Yeah, everybody.
You know? He can play many roles, from accountant to banker.
To schlubby teacher. That's it.
Yeah.
That's
the whole thing.
Schlubby teacher to schlubby education administrator.
Yeah, it's the entire gamut. He can run.
Every movie needs those three things, though, to be fair.
Yeah, like, that's just true.
You know, in the 70s, he played some cabbies, and then he worked really well in that, too.
I can see that.
Oh, yeah. I bet he played a good ghost cabbie in a Ghostbusters movie.
He literally played a ghost bus driver in the movie Hearts and Souls.
Oh, right. I forgot.
Has
about
done
that
it.
Shit.
The man works. I can't
yeah,
stress
he
this.
Works,
enough.
He works. When he works, he works.
He does.
Cool.
He does.
Our hearts go out to David.
Yeah, he's putting in the hours for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Next week, the hours.
No, that, we watched that recently.
I've never seen it. Do we know that he's not in the movie The Hours?
Do you know what the movie The Hours is about? Or is...
Yeah, it's about Virginia Woolf. It doesn't mean that David Paymer isn't in the movie The Hours.
I'm just saying if we possibly had a movie that had actual people in it that we could have Lee do.
The Hours is more famous than almost every movie we do. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it's too late. Right. Anyway...
Next week Seth will be doing a movie called Tempo.
Mm-hmm. One of the many movies that I randomly see an ad for, or like
weird
when I'm scrolling on Amazon and see a title and picture of people that I recognize and say, hey Zach, we should make Seth do this movie.
That's exactly how this happened.
This is honestly harder on you guys than it is on me. I can always come up with some bullshit. You have to watch it.
Yeah. I feel like, Seth, you and I are the one that has to do that most often, because Lee has seen every fucking movie
Lee
in the
world.
Lee
just consumes media like a fucking graboid. Yeah.
I will never forgive Lee for a thing he had no part in, and it was that goddamn French movie, Holy Motors.
Fucking Holy Motors.
You didn't pick that. We picked that. But I will still never forgive you for it.
I can't.
I really need to see Holy Motors because you two are the only people I have ever heard who do not like
it. I know.
Like
I fear that if you did, you're going to really like it. And then we're going to have to like have a whole fucking conversation.
Reconcile it. Yeah.
Well, it is our last episode. Maybe that's the thing I should do is watch it and just show up and be like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys?
That is exactly how that would go. 100%.
Sucks so bad, though.
Yeah.
I hate it so much.
I feel like people that go to war, you come back and your friends that went to war with, like you have this life bond with. And I feel that with Seth.
Yeah, exactly. Like
just unimaginably bad.
You weren't there. You weren't there in the trenches with us. There was
you didn't storm the beaches of literal France.
There was mustard gas just pouring over us all the time.
God damn it.
And that mustard gas was made of motor oil from Holy Motors.
Yep.
Yeah, I feel like you maybe
lost the thread. Shut the hell up.
I'm gonna pull us out of this one. This has been Faking Movies. Right. I'll watch what she's watching. And it just really today is hammering home the idea that we really need to drink while we're recording, because this is we are just dragging.
Shut the hell up.
I mean, that's it right there, yeah.